This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Is this just a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Hey, bitch. Hate is gonna hate.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, DJ and producer Dino Hill with Sophie Tomey on the news, and now your host. With the Democratic Convention here, we hope you do the right thing and write him in for president, Deese Casillas.
Malab Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode with me, as usual, but not last week, but this week. Sophie Tomey. Sophie, how you doing?
Good, good.
Good, good, good. Doing good. No Jeremy. Jeremy's not here. It seems like we have had a struggle getting everyone here for the last few weeks. So that's okay. We've got a great show. We have producer, musician, DJ, DJ Exodus in the house. DJ, how you doing, buddy? Exodus, what do you go by? DJ X Exodus. What do you want? X.
Most people just call me my government name.
No, government. Is that easier? Or what do you want? I got.
That's like my comic book name, but it's up to you.
Okay. All right. Dino, DJ Exodus, X. I feel like DJ Exodus. How'd that? How'd you land on that one?
Just terrible. Being really young, like, oh yeah, I'm really into Bob Marley.
Okay, all right, I get that. I'm
like 12 years ago.
Not like a big biblical fan where you're like, I love that second book of the Bible.
that's definitely not my favorite one.
If you had to rank them from 43 all the way down to number one.
Damn, that many, huh? Jeez.
I think there was. It could be a little less, a little more, but it's around. There's a lot.
That's really bad because I was in like a cult when I was younger.
Yeah.
So like, I should have known that. I should know those facts.
I feel like if you're raised in a cult, once you're out of the cult, you try to ditch that information as quickly as possible, right?
Yes, definitely.
What kind of cult? Just like, was it? It was better. It was a more cultish than just regular Christianity. It was like super cult.
Oh, it was a hardcore cult. It was the not hardcore. I guess it was a. The what is it called? The Pentecostal Church, like the.
That's pretty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
it was
the one
it was
that,
intense.
Like, tickets the funerals and stuff.
No, that's Westboro Baptist Church.
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, they're pretty nutty too. They're like a very crazy fundamental Baptist. Was that here in the Spokane area?
No, this is when I was younger. Just grew up. Lots of my family are still in that crazy craziness. But
where did you grow up?
I'm a Native American. I'm Crow, so I come from Montana, the Salaga tribe.
Yeah. What part of Montana?
Southeastern bottom half, like in the
southeastern,
like by Billings, Montana. Okay, Bozeman area, like out there.
Yeah. I mean, I lived in Missoula for a while.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I know. So I know Montana fairly well. I do a lot of shows out there still.
It's like on the Wyoming border, like down there, like south.
Like closer to Yellowstone, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the same mountains.
Yeah. So Pentecostal, huh?
Jeez, man.
How was that growing up?
I hated it.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. And I was like, I just hated it. Like, there's so many rules and getting like the crap scared out of you by your. It was like just, it was all fear based, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, isn't that any kind of religion? It's kind of fear mongering for you to act bad, just this boogie monster hanging over your head your entire life to not fuck up, or you're going to, you know, have to go.
I agree with you 100%. That's
brainwashing. Yeah, oh, for sure. Dude, I grew up Catholic, hardcore Catholic, and my family converted. My brother's actually a Baptist pastor now.
And that's
a big leap from Catholic, but I'm agnostic, and so I went the other direction. So I'm the one that, you know, doesn't, I'm the black sheep of the family. I saw this morning on Instagram a kind of a friend, family friend of mine who she doesn't listen to this show. She'll never hear this, but she, we kind of grew up together-ish. She's a little younger than I am. And then she kind of was party girl and then found Jesus and then had a kid and then kind of found another guy and had another kid and then kind of found another guy and married him, and they were married, and then she cheated on him with another guy. And then was kind of wayward for a while. And then now this guy and her are together officially. And then, well, I don't even know if she's with the guy she cheated on her husband with. She's with a new guy. And then she posted a picture this morning of, like, her being baptized and, like, oh, all the sins washed away. And I'm like, is that all it takes?
You just go
bang a bunch of dudes, crap out a couple kids, fuck off with Jesus, cheat on your husband, and then you just go swim in this little tide kiddie pool for a minute, and all of a sudden, sins are washed away. No big deal, man. It just made me think, like, wouldn't it be funny if someone, like, lived the best life ever and was super holy and then got up to heaven and she's like, yeah, but you never got baptized, so...
So
yeah, I mean, spirit of the law, letter of the law, but sorry, man, you gotta go. You gotta go. Like, what a weird loophole. It's just his way of, like, gentrifying heaven. He's like, sorry, man, can't let you in. You didn't get baptized. Like, oh, man.
If I'm getting baptized, you gotta go to Minnesota and get baptized in the Lake of Minnetonka.
Yeah?
like Prince said, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go the whole... Yeah, you gotta, if you're gonna do it like a fucking rock and roll god.
I lived in Minneapolis for a number of years.
Did you?
Yeah, before I came here.
Because I don't really know much about you, so I want to kind of, I want to get to know you a little bit, kind of figure out. So you grew up in Montana, Native American, on a reservation out there?
Yeah, the Crow.
Crow Reservation out there, which, fuck me, I spent a lot of time in Browning, Montana, and like those, I don't know if you're, I'm sure you've probably been to Browning.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's, I tell people a lot, like, they don't really realize, I mean, like, I grew up in South Central, man, I grew up in the hood in L.A., and then I moved to Montana, and I, you know, spent a lot of time on the Browning Reservation. Dude, those can be some rough.
Yeah, it's a different kind of poverty on the reservation, and it's scary for sure.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age.
Well,
I guess it always has been scary, but I guess with the movement of, like, the murdered and missing indigenous women, like, it's really shining a light on, like, we were on tour in October, me and Mike Bogan, and We had an artist with us from D.C. We were going through my res. We were dry. We actually were coming through there, and we stopped there, and I was like, yeah, people disappear out of here. it's kind of like a joking thing, yeah.
Well, it's crazy because it's at an alarming rate, and it just goes to show you how little like attention is paid to it, because most people have no idea, and it's really crazy how when you start looking at I watched a documentary on it too not long ago on like Netflix or something. And the sheer numbers of people who are just disappearing from that area. And it's not talked about because, again, it's kind of a, you know, whatever, not our problem, or we don't care, you know, type of thing. Not an issue anyone wants to really face, because it's kind of it's like a shitty situation there. Like, no one wants to face that whole situation anyway, what they did. So, like,
oh, yeah.
That's
one thing the U.S. government will never admit. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, sorry about that. Oh, yeah, remember we killed like 35 million of you, or whatever the number is?
My bad, bro. Can we get baptized again? We baptized. So, yeah, man. It's a crazy, crazy place out in those areas. So, like, growing up there, and then in a cult too, was that whole area
the religion that I came from, like, that has a huge influence on our res,
does it? And so that's like, pretty common in that area,
yeah, though. Like, I was like, it was so weird because they told us we couldn't like go to powwows or be native. They literally just took everything from us, and that religion was like, this is what you follow now. You can't read comic books. You can't do anything, you know?
Yeah, like, anything that's worldly or, you know, ungodly. Yeah. I mean, they're very stringent. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's something based in the origin of the reservation and when the government stripped away the culture and just trying to whitewash it. So you're, you know, kind of really keep that reservation oppressed, essentially, yeah. You know, if like, hey, they're just dependent on not their culture and this false god, they just, you know, that's all they have, and it just keeps it, you guys kind of stuck instead of,
yeah. Well, my grandpa always told me, he's like, yeah, they came with a Bible in one hand, they came with a gun in the other. I was like,
pick your poison.
Yeah, we're going here.
God, hell of a choice. That's great. Well, it's really interesting that how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 32.
Okay, so I mean, your grandpa probably has some, I mean, a little closer connection of memory to kind of, you know, how it was back in probably the old days, really, in Montana.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm actually first generation off the reservation, I guess.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would make me like, my grandma wrote a book about that. One of our elders in our tribe, Pretty Shield, wrote a book about that wasn't that long ago. It was like 100 years ago,
right?
Like,
yeah,
where they went from roaming around following the buffalo to doing nothing on the reservation.
Yeah,
you know?
Just kind of stuck. Well, I mean, really, yeah, you look at it, I mean it's 2020 and 1920, that area of Montana was wildly different.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about it's so funny because, I mean, I'm 37, I think, maybe 38. I don't fucking know. I'm somewhere. It's because I'm Mexican. We don't get actual ages. We just like, this is your green card and whatever. But literally, my grandpa rode a donkey from Jotepec, Mexico to America in 1929. Like, that was my grandfather, the guy I grew up with, you know, and sat on his lap while he smoked cigars and drank tall cans of Budweiser, you know, like, and like, that's such a weird, crazy thought. Like, to me, that was just life. That was normal to me. But there's some people who couldn't even, like, your grandfather rode a donkey from Mexico here. I'm like, yeah, dude, that's how my family ended up here. And it's really crazy to think that there's not a lot of that. We're probably like the last generation that will really have that kind of connection to an origin story that close to like an immigrant story. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
for sure.
And especially coming from there, and
that wasn't that long ago. That's kind of something that really doesn't go through our heads. Like, it wasn't that long ago that black people couldn't send the same restaurant. You know? Yeah. That was just like...
Well, I mean, I think the last public hanging was in, like, Oklahoma in, like, 1981, you know? Like, that of like, a black... Like, you're talking... I mean, that was a year before I was born. You're talking... And that's... That what that's like in this essentially lifetime, this generation of people was, you know, I mean, that's it's an insane thought to think where, you know, from a couple of years ago, having a black president, him being like, yeah, dude, I was alive when they were still hanging black people. Like that was that's such a it's such a weird swing.
And it's, bad wording.
Sorry, <yeah. laughs> sorry, unintentional. It's I mean it is
Can't
a bad
sw-
it is a bad swing either way. But yeah, man, it's really nuts. So with I'm interested in this cult thing though. Can I ask you some more questions
about
the cult
thing?
That sounds interesting. So how long when did you move off the reservation? How old were you?
I wouldn't really say I moved away from the reservation until like I was an adult.
Okay.
When I was younger, when I went to high school, but like I went to high school like on the first city off the reservation, so it was
okay.
You know, like it was, you know, it's.
Yeah, you were kind of still in.
Yeah. It wasn't until like I moved to Minnesota that I finally was like away from all of that craziness
okay.
and.
What was it? How when were you like? When did you kind of get in your head that? When did you? At what age did you realize that the Pentecostal was like? You're like, this is nuts.
It's probably like when I was like in my 20s, early 20s. I started okay. like I started no like, no it was actually it was before that, but I still like was just so brainwashed that like I thought I was like still like living in a state of like I'm doing something wrong. I'm,
sure.
Like, you know, how that stays with you. You gotta like unlearn all that stuff.
Oh, but. it takes a long time. It took me a long time to unwind the Catholic guilt.
Yeah, that guilt you got. Yeah, exactly.
I still always say it's part of the reason that. Like,
but now I'm living like full degenerate.
Yeah.
behavior. So.
Yeah, screw it, man. the one thing I still have is like I'm bad with like people. Doing things for me or like birthdays and stuff like that. I'm like, oh no, I'm like, I'm well, even when I get, I don't drink anymore. I order like soda waters. I'm like, do you want a lime in it? I'm like, no, I don't need a lime. I'm like, I don't bother with a lime. Like I'm not worth a lime. Like I'm Catholic. We don't have things like self-esteem. We don't bother putting that lime in there for me. I'm not worth it. Like that's
so unworthy.
Yeah. So, that's the kind of weird shit that like being Catholic fucks you up with. You're like, no, don't bother. It's fine. I'll just drink. I don't need, you a bit of, it's like they're like it's no big deal. I'm like, yeah, it seems like a big deal.
You're making it a big deal.
yeah, I'm making it more of a big deal than they do. So you got off, out of the reservation. You went to Minnesota. What took you to Minnesota?
I just had some friends that were doing music, and I was like really early into DJing, and was just curious. I was just down to go anywhere,
yeah.
You know, at that point, you know,
yeah, get like, out of that area,
try to get away from there and as far away from, I guess at the point, I don't know. I got very far away from everybody, my whole family, you know, and
yeah,
it was like a long ways away. And when I moved to Minneapolis, like that's where like, I started DJing before I moved, but I wasn't like good or anything.
Sure.
And then it wasn't until like I went to Minneapolis, and that's like when I feel like that's where like, all my flavor came
yeah.
from. Like,
so that, but you were probably when you first started, that was back in the day when you were still, you know, records were still digging
sure.
in crates, pulling records and, you know, not this digital type thing that everyone's doing now. Right. Digital
yeah. Yeah. I still use turntables to this day when I DJ.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like actual records or like the digital turntables?
Well, yeah. Well, it's still the old school Technics turntable, but I use Serato in my laptop and it, technology talks to it and
sure
can, yeah you can manipulate the music like you're using a real record.
Okay. Yeah. So you moved to Minnesota, kind of developed your flavor. What is your flavor, would you say? What did you develop that you think like was it a musical taste that you developed? Because I mean I imagine Minnesota, people don't realize it, Minneapolis actually kind of has like a kind of a cool little music scene.
Oh, their scene is huge. I mean, that's where Prince and like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, you know, and like the funk. That's where I found the funk and soul music. Like
okay.
that is my flavor. Like that's what I'm known for as a DJ, is like the, I feel like I have deep crates of like just the funkiest stuff that you can't, you know, that just funk and soul. I can play just funk and soul music for like 4 or 5 hours and not play a hip hop record, you
just
know,
like deep cuts, like how, yeah, like what, like a Curtis Mayfield,
yeah, Curtis Mayfield, James P-funk, Brown,
yeah,
Parliament, yep,
okay,
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I've said for
a lot of
about
Prince, Morris Day and the Time, like that's my favorite. Morris
okay,
Day and the Time,
all right,
sure. They're from Minneapolis too.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. It is weird that that's an interesting pocket of, but I mean, you figure, you know, Motown, you got a lot, yeah, of Motown came out of Detroit and stuff like that. So you've got a lot of that in that region anyway.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I've always said that I think The Big Payback by James Brown was the original hip-hop song.
Oh,
I think that was the first gangster rap song, man. Like, that song was fucking hardcore. He's just talking, like, you know,
here's another, talking about, I was going to say, because I saw this Beatles thing. I was listening to Rocky Raccoon. I'm like, wow, this is such a gangster song.
Yeah.
That was a very gangster song.
Yeah, he just goes in and shoots everyone, kills her. Rocky Raccoon, man. You know, you do enough drugs.
I hate to see it, but
hey, well, you know, it happens, man. So you start DJing in Minneapolis, and how long were you in Minneapolis for?
Oh, I was there for a number of years, probably like 4 or 5.
And then you came to Spokane? Is that where?
Yeah. Pretty much, basically, that's.
And then you got sucked into the black hole, man.
God. Yeah. I actually kind of, I liked it. I like Spokane. I like it a lot, actually. I'm not from here, though, so I guess it's, I've only been here a few years, so.
How many years have you lived here?
About four?
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've lived here about 10 years, moved here from LA. I found it to be an interesting place. It's ever changing, ever growing. It's changed a lot in the 10 years I've lived here. It still has a lot of room for growth, I feel like.
Oh yeah. For sure.
But yeah, I feel like it's coming. What made you want to stay when you moved here?
Oh, I got family here.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. Okay. My sister lives out here. And, my immediate family all ended up here within the last, like, 10 years. It's kind of weird.
It's an odd place where a lot of people aren't from. They just kind of land here. They kind of end up here. Like, how'd you get here? Like, I don't know. I knew some people, and I just kind of, here I am.
That's basically it. Yeah, I started coming out here. I was like, I kind of like this place.
Well, you know, I mean, if you can do the weather in Minneapolis, you can do the weather here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so, or in Montana. Oh, shit, where you're at, Montana, too. That's even colder, man. Yeah.
It's not bad here.
No, man, that's what I always say, man. I go, the coldest I've ever been was a winter in, I was playing basketball in Great Falls, Montana one winter. And with wind chill, it was like fucking 40 degrees below, man, just whipping through those flatlands, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know.
Yeah, Great Falls is a.
That's a
frigid
dump.
Place.
It's
like right by Canada.
Or I do shows up in Havre like twice a year, and that literally is, you can see you drive by the border entrances when you're going.
That's
up
there. That's so funny. I've done a show in Havre once before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird when you go to these little towns. It's probably similar with music. You know, you're digging for new locations and other places to tour around, and you find places. I don't know how it was for music, but for comedy, it ended up being a great place for us.
It was great. Well, I ended up there because I toured with an artist out of Portland. He goes by Mike Bogan. He's got a pretty good following all over the country right mm-hmm. now. But I've been going on tour with him for the last 6 years.
Okay.
So that's how I end up in these weird little places like Havre, Montana. We were playing at that college there. There's a little college.
Yeah.
There.
Western, MSU Western or some shit like there. Some central,
yeah,
north central, Washington. I don't fucking know. Some north central Montana. There's some college up there. Yeah. And that makes sense.
Yeah. So we were on tour. That was like 3 or 4 years ago. And that was one of the stops.
Yeah, man. You hit some weird places.
It was a weird place for sure.
We
were the only minorities there, I think.
That also tracks, for sure. Yeah. I don't think they attract a lot of minorities through their sports teams up there. They'll be like, no fucking way, dude. Place is too cold, too close to Canada. So Mike Bogan, you tour with him. What kind of music does Mike Bogan do?
Hip hop music.
Okay. So he's MC, lyricist?
Yep,
okay.
MC, yeah.
All right.
Artist.
And you're his tour DJ then?
Yeah, DJ. I produce stuff for him too. And we've been together since the beginning of his career, I guess. So
okay.
It's just kind of, I recorded some scratches on one of his records like 6-7 years ago. And ever since then, he's like, hey, I got a show coming up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You want to come with me? And I'm like, I didn't have anything going. I was like, yeah, sure, let's go.
Yeah,
and ever since then, he's taken me all over them.
Nice. What's the best, where's the best show you guys have done? Best place you guys have been to?
Oh, I always say it's Boise. Boise, Idaho.
That's yeah?
Great. Great. Every time we go there, we pack it out and sell hella merch.
Boise's pretty great, man. Boise, I feel like Boise is what Spokane could be in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things about Boise that it's a little more modern. It's a little more progressive. It's like a little cooler in ways. You know, they're just like a little more, just like a little hipper.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's nice there. Like, they don't have, I don't know what they do with all their homeless people. Because, like, when you walk around that place, you're like, this place is, like, really clean. Like, there's no other city I see like that. Like, I've been to most major cities, and that place is just uniquely, like, just, I don't know.
And I think maybe its secret is that it is in, you know, south central Idaho. There's no other big city in Idaho, and it just kind of, there's nothing else near it. It's, you know, 7 hours from any other big city at least, and it just kind of, it's like, who would think to go to Idaho and be homeless? Or like, you know, it's like the one place in Idaho that isn't just like a redneck central.
Yeah, which is really weird. Yeah, because Idaho is a scary place.
Oh, man. There's it's one of the I've definitely been threatened at several shows in Idaho in my past, so
yeah, I'm terrified of Idaho.
Idaho is a very
but that one little spot though is just,
it's great.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but that place always turns up and shows. Another weird, I guess another cool place would be Denver. We get a lot of love in Denver. Another weird little market though that we sell out is Rapid City, South Dakota.
Really?
Yeah, we go there and I don't know what it is. We've been there like 3 times now on the last 3 tours, and they party there. I guess there's nothing else to do there.
Yeah.
That is a scary place though. Like after a show there, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what do you do now? I don't want to smoke meth. What do we do?
Yeah, exactly.
So how often are you on the road, and how often, like how much of a year are you on the road, do you think?
We usually do average about like 2 good-sized tours a year, and then like a few random things in between there, but I'd say about solid like 8 weeks on the road a year.
Okay. So when you're on the road, the larger chunks, is it like weeks at a time or?
Yeah, for sure. This last one was about like 3.5 weeks.
Yeah. How do you like life on the road?
As I'm getting older, I'm starting to, and we're on like our, I can't even remember what number of tour we've done, but as I'm getting older, it's getting a little harder.
Yeah.
Four or 5 years ago, I was like, yeah, well, sleep on any floor or couch, but now I'm like, oh man, I really want to, we just did this show, I really want to. I wish we had a nice hotel to go to instead of this Motel 6.
Right. You know, like, yeah, you want to instead of just crashing on a sofa in your car, because I did that for a long time with, because comedy is very similar, and you end up, you know, I'll crash on a sofa, and I've slept in my car, I've slept in a tent before, but now I'm like, I need at least a hotel. I need a bed and a warm shower in the morning. I mean, I sleep in a lot of Motel 6s. It's $50, but at least it's a mattress.
Yeah,
like
for
that.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I would take a Motel 6 over the car for sure.
Yeah,
day.
It's just, you know, I mean, especially when you know, a couple days in, you're feeling okay. When you're like week two on the road, you're fucking burnt. And like, man,
oh, yeah,
I need a
just any relevance or anything that just kind of feels like home, or I don't know. It's just you when you're on the road, it's like I always tell people, it's like 23 hours of bullshit that you're putting up with in your life for like 1 hour of like the best time of your life.
Right. Yeah, man. Like, well, what do they say, you know, for like performers and stuff? They don't pay you to perform. They pay you to travel.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
because
that's
sure.
what that's where the pain in the ass is.
The amount of hours in the van, it's not for everybody, for sure. That's why I always see the correlation between comics and DJs, or and musicians, is that are like, we have to perform. We have to go out and,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, you have to. I mean, you do. So, I mean,
especially for DJing and comedy, I see the correlation that you have to, in order to get better as a DJ, you need to go perform in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can be in your bedroom as much as you want, like, and DJ as much as you, and it's great to practice, but like, you learn so much more in front of crowds, in front of.
Well, putting in front of people, that's interesting. Actually, that's an interesting point. So is there, because for comics, you know, we have open mic, we go practice new material, we rehearse it, we try it a couple different ways and see what, gauge what we're getting out of it, maybe reword it. For a DJ, what's your process to, you know, if you're working on a mix, if you're live, you know, how do you perfect that, and how do you kind of find what, you know, what people are liking and how to really make it work in front of an audience?
I feel like at this point, or I don't know, I always felt like I was at a good ear for what was going to be cool, or what, like, I was like, oh, this song's going to be big, or and you have to try them out too, you know, you have to. And that's like one thing, like I'm always like trying to, especially because I DJ, I play out so much that there's nights where I'm playing all the new hip hop, or, you know, like, and you have to keep, that's the part that nobody, that's the part you don't get paid for, you know, you know, yeah. Like that, because there's like 4 or 5 hours at the beginning of every week, I'm getting music prepared. I'm like trying to find out what's new, what's coming out. And then you have to try that out in front of people. Maybe it didn't work, you know?
Right.
And then sometimes that same song will work in a different environment, in a different city, or a different, you have to be able to feel your crowd.
Well, that's true too. And that's, again, very, very common in comedy also, is you have to figure, you know, different audiences you're catering to, different areas, different demographics. Listening to new music, I'm a huge music fan. I love music, but I feel like about 10 years ago, probably somewhere around about 10 years ago, I kind of stopped absorbing new music because I didn't listen to the radio anymore. There wasn't like a place where you like just new music didn't flow into your world anymore. You kind of have to like go on to Spotify and create a channel, and maybe other artists like an artist you know, that's how people find things now, or apparently I don't even know. So I don't really catch a lot of new music. What am I missing? Dino, what am I missing? What should I be listening to that the kids think is hot, right? What are the kids going to, how am I going to be cool with the kids is what I want to say.
I mean, first you need some like young people around you. gotta tell you,
Sophie's
what's cool.
Young. Sophie's young and cool.
A lot of the in the music hip hop industry, there's always a young homie, you know, that
yeah.
always knows what's. Are you know?
I need that. I need a young homie to hit me.
And you just,
that's my new nickname.
Young homie.
Yeah.
Rap name.
Yeah,
Sophie's rap name.
It was a little smoky, but yeah. Now I'm a young homie.
I kinda like young homie. Homie. Lil homie. It has to have Lil in it.
You want Lil instead of young homie? Oh, yeah. What are some of the hot musicians, or what's some songs that we should be, that I should know about now that you've heard that are like playing in the clubs or whatever? What's some?
Right now, Mike Bogan just dropped a new record called Cult Beauty. That's a dope. There's a lot of dope cuts on there, but that's more underground. Right now, what have I been listening to today? I'll give you what was I listening to before I came here. I was listening to that new Russ album. He's been killing it.
To who?
Russ.
Russ.
Yeah, his new album is pretty dope.
Just R-U-S-S?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pull this up because I want to hear something from... I need suggestions. Russ, artist. Russ, song, popular song.
Which one was I? I was just listening to that Guess What.
Best on Earth, Guess What? Oh, Guess What? With Rick Ross?
Yeah. That's when I was literally just in the car on the way here.
This one?
Yeah, that's the jammer, dude. All
right, let's hear. I like the beat already, so... You want to freestyle this? A little smoke?
All right, little homie, go. Aw,
little homie.
I just put my logo in my pool, guess what? I just made a porno in the booth, guess what? They be taking photos when I move, guess what? I still got control, though, how about you, guess what? I just put my logo in my pool, guess what? I just made a porno in the booth, guess what? They be taking photos when I move, guess what? I still got control, though, how about you, guess what? Race against your doubt, a lot of y'all ain't running fast enough. I can spot a fake before we even finish dapping up. Clapping when they win, but when I win, they never clap it up. Parents' marriage crumbles, so I told my mama pack it up.
I can feel it. I can see why. I do enjoy this better than most things, most new things I've heard. I have this problem, and maybe this is probably just me getting old and set in my ways. Every time I hear new music, I'm like, I have better music than that already. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel you. That, and that also...
I mean, it's different for you. You have to do this. You have, you know...
I would say you would have to, but... there's something about being in the environment at, like, 1 a.m. DJing, and you play, like, a Roddy Ricch song, you know? Like, a lot of real hip-hop heads would be like, oh, that's, you know, that's not hip-hop. But then, like, the energy in the room when... There's something when you hear that song in that environment, you're like, oh, okay, this is why people fuck with this song. And even when I'm DJing, I do not care about what guys, I don't care about what dudes want to hear at all.
Yeah,
my main focus is getting the girls
dance floor. It should be, man.
I do not care what any, yeah.
So let's do. I've got your album up on Spotify. It's under Dean Smith. That's S-M-I-F, guys, and it's Kushnaps and Cartoons. Let's. What track should we play off of this to listen to?
I don't know the intro song. I don't know, that's a lot of scratching. But I don't know if you want to play any of the beats after the 2 through 4 or 2 through 5.
Critical Skills, Eyes for You, Quantum Haze, Cold Love, Silver Tips.
Let's do Eye for You. That's like the biggest one, that the most popular one.
Oh, what happened?
He broke it.
Let's start over. Here we go. Oh man, all right. The Flamingos.
Yeah, I sampled that.
Yeah. I was trying to remember.
I was watching A Bronx Tale when I made this, when I was making this record. I was watching A Bronx Tale. I was like, wow, that song.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time, man.
And then that song was like, Follow Me Around, because then I was randomly watching I think it was my sister was watching that Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Okay.
And it's in there. He's like, he's playing that song when he's like riding around in that cheeseburger truck or something,
sure,
like trying to win the girl over. I'm like, wow, that's there's that song. Yeah, I sampled it and this is what turned into it.
I dig that because I love that. That's literally one of my favorite songs of all time. All right. I like it. I can get down with this. Do you sell these beats, or is these beats that Mike Bogan uses?
At both.
Or are they?
This beat is on the project, on that project right now. But I mean, I do sell beats. I do.
Yeah. Do you work with any local hip hop artists or anyone else outside of Mike Bogan?
Yeah. A lot of our locally, the homie Benjamin, you know Ben from Red Room, Ben 10.
Okay. Yeah.
He does the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been, me and him have loosely been working on a project together, I guess. That's kind of the only one right now. There's a few others, but not seriously yet.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of guys in town doing stuff. It just kind of, I'm sure everyone kind of has their own kind of lane and venue what they're kind of working on. So,
but I mean, I'm definitely open to work with people and people that want to buy them.
I've got. Do you know the CCB crew at all? Willie B, Eric Acebo, those guys.
In like passing.
Okay.
Like, No.
They're buddies of mine. They've been on the podcast a bunch of times. I've known them for years. I actually bought Willie B's first mixtape right outside the Red Room during one day. He was on the street selling them out of his backpack, and I bought it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's how I met him. That was like 5 years ago. I was talking to him the other day, and we decided we're going to do a song together. I'm gonna do a song with him.
Oh, like, nice.
Yeah. It's I used to do music years ago. It's been like, fuck, dude, like 13 years and I'm still living in Long Beach. But I'm like, man, I've just been feeling it. Like when I've been playing basketball and like freestyle and stuff, I'm like, how do I get it down this shit? I want to write something, get on a song. I'm like, yeah, let's do it, dude. I'm like, all right, I'll fucking do it. So
let me know and I'll throw you a beat.
That'd be dope, man. Yeah, we're trying to figure out how we want to do a beat. I like that. Fuck, yeah. After
that, like,
the
put me
you.
In a trance. I fucking like that. Yeah, it's in. I wrote it down. I need to. That and
that's like I kind of feel like my DJing transfers to like when I'm producing. Like I don't ever have a plan on when I'm making a beat. It just somehow just comes out soulful, you know.
I definitely hear this. It's very like kind of hypnotic, soulful. I hear in this next track too. Definitely like a little more low key. Which I dig because I grew up, you know, West Coast on G-Funk. So I can appreciate that. I do love me a good old-fashioned fucking gangster beat sometimes, too. Like, hardcore. But this is like that G-Funk, which
is
nice.
This is like what I like.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I dig it, man. All right. So let's see, guys. So if you want to find Dino's music, you can find him at Dean Smith. Again, that's DeanSmif on SoundCloud, Spotify. Check out the album.
Apple Music, everything. It's on every carrier.
And social media, find you on Instagram, Facebook, all
Instagram
that stuff.
Instagram is DJ Exodus 1. That's mostly where I post everything.
Okay.
Mostly, yeah. Everything is on there.
And then we'll put links up in the comments of all the podcast too, of this episode for you guys. Oh yeah, man, I think god damn, yeah. See, it's very soulful. Mm-hmm. I like this. This is like, and this is like the music. This is like
I actually wrote this song for my mom.
Really?
Or when my mom was in the hospital when I made this one.
I know it's not like super good to pick favorites, but like we've had like a lot of artists slash DJs come on, and I have to say I really enjoyed when Aaron Parks was here, and I am allowed to say that he's my favorite because you two are so vastly different that Aaron can also be my favorite, but like I really like this.
Well, she'll be on in a couple of weeks, so you can tell her how you like Dino more. I'm just kidding. She is coming back on in a couple of weeks.
Okay,
but,
good.
No, I get what you're saying. I mean, Aaron Parks is a acoustic guitar singer,
oh, okay.
Songwriter. It's a very different music.
So I feel comfortable saying
yeah.
That.
it's not a one-to-one ratio.
Yeah,
both very good. No, I dig. I like this is definitely the music I can get into, man, because I do love some old school soul and funk. I mean, like, that's I would say, like, I grew up on oldies and like hip-hop. That's what I always tell people. Like, I didn't hear people talk about these bands that were, even when I was younger, that were popular, and I'm like, I don't know any of their songs. Yeah, I have no fucking clue. And they're like, you don't know, you know, you can't name, like, you didn't know this fucking, like, I don't know, most like Metallica songs or Primus, or I don't even fucking know, like, it's cool. All these bands, I'm like, I know.
Yeah, so, when it comes to that, I don't know.
I'm
either.
Like, yeah, they're like, no, you know them, and then they'll start playing. I'm like, I've fucking never heard that song. Or if I did, it didn't pen it. Like, I didn't.
Yeah, like, I'm like, yeah, I grew up on oldies and hip hop.
Yeah.
So, and the Beatles.
Yeah, that was like.
And the Beatles.
K-Earth 101 was the oldies radio station in L.A., and I used to listen to that, and it had, yeah, you know, stuff like the Beatles and the Beach Boys, oldies like that, yeah. But also, like...
You grew up with Art LeBeau, then.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
I used to buy those CDs, like, this is like, just hearing that voice.
Dude, all that...
Using this old song, yeah.
But, I mean, I love, like, you know, Curtis Mayfield. I saw Al Green live at the Hollywood Bowl, like, 15 years ago. That was, like, when he was doing a concert when I was living in L.A., and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to not go see Al Green at the Hollywood Bowl. You're fucking kidding me, dude. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that, it's, I just can't. I don't know, man. Music is so weird because it's odd how different music really, really speaks to people. You know, it's such a wiring thing. You know, someone can hear a song and be like, "That's my favorite song forever," and then someone else will hear that song and be like, "That is the most annoying thing ever, and I want to kill myself."
Also, something I've really thought about recently is that there's people that. Music doesn't really even do anything to them at all.
Yeah.
Like they could like live psycho they could live stuff. The rest of their life.
Yeah, those are psychos. Those are like those are people, those are serial killers.
They don't like dogs either, and I don't trust that.
yeah, for sure. they have cats. Probably.
Yeah.
Cat people.
Cat fucking gross.
No music.
Yeah, they're like bird people. They're like, "Oh, you're a bird? Oh, bird man."
That's a weird one.
Even snake people like music.
Yeah, it's weird they're music, but they at least like music.
if you have a snake, you're definitely listening to Metallica.
Yeah, man. You're if not something even harder than that, you're listening to Rammstein or something. Fucking crazy shit. All right. How much time we got here? All right. Well, what we're going to do, Dino, we're going to play a quick game that we call the Rundown. It is something we play with new guests every time they're on for the first time. It's just a series of questions that we've come up with over the years. They don't, they're just basic, just kind of get to know you. Some are a little weird, but basically it's a way to... they don't mean anything individually, but as you add them up, they start to paint a picture of someone, basically, is how it works. It's like a SAT type thing.
Psychosis.
Yeah, man. So I always start with this one. If you could travel anywhere in the world, anywhere you wanted to go, all expenses paid, everything's taken care of, but you have to travel with the person you hate the most in life. Where would you go, and who would that person be?
Oh, wow, that's a interesting question. He's probably never going to hear this. Our old manager. I hated that guy.
You don't say his name. You can just say your old manager. Yeah. We don't know where that was at or what work is that. You worked a lot of places probably.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
Your old manager. Where would you go though?
You know what would be? We're gonna. Elon Musk is taking people to space now.
Okay,
so.
Going to Mars.
Obviously, we just leave him up there.
conveniently forget him. He's terraforming Mars, and you guys are on your way back. Yeah. Like, fuck you, old manager. That's a good one. No one has said Mars yet, but that's true. We're heading to Mars soon, man. Would you, if you had a chance to go to Mars, one way trip? Would you go?
Hell no.
No.
No. That sounds terrible. To be the first ones up there, give it a few goes around, you know.
Get a Rite Aid up there, then maybe CVS at least. I've thought about it. I'm like, the one thing that's appealing to me is like, you will go down in the history books, though. Like, you will be a person that's talked about forever. Like, you're going to be one of the first people that was on Mars. You know, that's a weird... Yeah, you know it's a one-way trip, and it's probably not going to be great once you're there. You're not going to, like, find a lot to do. But that would be... That's something in history that only a limited amount of people get to say.
I always thought it'd be kind of like sweet to be the first one on Mars. A, because of what you said, like history. Like, I don't think I'm going to have much else to go off by the time I die. So, like, I might as well go to Mars.
Well,
and
think about, like, on day 90, you're like, all right.
Yeah, but then think about it. Like,
I guess there's a school named after me on Earth. And, but I got these other four people on here. Like,
I don't
want to
fuck any of these people.
Oh, but by the time they get people to be living on Mars, technology is going to be good enough that they're going to have stuff to keep you entertained.
I don't know. You think so?
Yeah, okay. I looked into it. I can't go because I don't have a degree.
You have to have a degree?
Yeah.
Which I guess is one of the easier... No, an engineering degree is not.
That's not easy.
I could get a degree in communications, but...
Yeah, okay.
Well, what kind of degree do you need to be an astronaut?
Space aliens.
Well, I don't even think they're looking... They're going to have, like, independent... Because it's not like NASA. It's SpaceX. So they're having...
But to be, like, one of the first ones.
Well, they're having... They're looking for people who want to go up that aren't, like...
Just regular old people?
Just people that are going to be like, hey, dude, you're going to, like, be fucking... Like Dino said, like, making potatoes, man. You got to...
I'll fucking make a mean-ass potato.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have... Yeah, I don't know how they're... Fascinated by it, definitely. But
that's sweet.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't.
You're gonna have to grow your food for sure.
Any excuse not to go to Christmas.
I'd really love to, Mom. Turns out I'm on Mars.
Mars, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. If you could have one pizza for the rest of your life, any pizza. It doesn't have to be a brand. Just toppings. I mean, any toppings on your pizza for the rest of your life. But now you can only have that pizza forever. So now that's the only type of pizza you can have for the rest of your life. What toppings would you put on that pizza?
I don't know. No, it has to be the one forever.
That's it. So you can't deviate. Once you get that pick, that's now the only type of pizza you can have for the rest of your life.
It's got to be one of those. It's got to be that one from Mod Pizza.
Yeah. All right.
What's it called again? I can't remember it.
What's on?
I was just there. It's got pepperonis, sausage, and two other, I think, ground beef. And
so meats. And it's bacon. That's a solid choice.
But then I throw, like, hella vegetables on there, too.
Okay. What kind of veggies do you throw on that pizza, that bad boy? Like olives, jalapenos? What do you talk? Tomatoes? What are you talking?
Like onions.
Okay.
So
you want the work.
Peppers,
you just put everything on.
Yeah, whatever. That,
the shrewd thing about that is anytime you have that pizza, but you can pull things off of it and still have, like, the rest of the stuff. You can't add stuff on, though. If you just go sausage and bacon, now you're like, but one time you maybe want some onions, no onions. But if you put sausage, bacon, and onions, you're like, I don't want onions. Just take those bad ones off.
There you go. So you're thinking ahead.
Very smart.
Options
man. Like where your head's at. We're staying with the food world. If you can have one fruit to rule them all, for the rest of your life, you can only have one fruit to eat ever. What fruit would it be? You can eat other foods, too. This is just the only fruit now you can ever have. What fruit would it be?
Watermelon.
Watermelon. Okay. Yeah. Solid choice. I do like watermelon. The only thing about watermelon is it is... it's like it's risky. It's like a 50-50.
Is it going to be good or not?
Yeah. It's like a Taiwanese hooker. It's 50-50 if you're going to like what you find when you open it up.
Yeah, no, for sure.
God damn it. There is literally makeup on this thing from me hitting my head on the microphone so many times because I'm just in disbelief at what you say.
What did I say?
You go to Taiwan.
Yeah.
Apparently you haven't been there.
I have not.
That is a trip. I said something a couple weeks ago. I was listening back to the show for edits. And I said something, and I go, that might be the worst thing I've ever said in my life. And Sophie goes, not even close. Not even top 50. I'm like, not even top 50?
Give it a couple hours.
Yeah. Holy shit. I mean, Sophie and I spent a lot of time together. She knows me pretty well. And I'm like, I thought it was a pretty horrific thing I said. She's like, not even, that doesn't even touch the top 50.
I wasn't
phased
at all.
Yeah, you weren't phased at all.
Some of the things you post on online is just so freaking funny. Like, oh,
thank you. It's sleep deprivation and drugs.
Sarah, I can't articulate myself like that on paper.
It's all, you know, you don't sleep and eat mushrooms regularly. Your mind comes up with some amazing things. And then I just also stopped caring years ago, so I just put everything out there. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Oh, that's because of the mushrooms.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Just free your mind.
Yeah. I love mushrooms.
Yeah, I went completely sober about 10 months ago now, besides mushrooms. I gave up everything else, and I love it. But yeah, I microdose and then semi-regularly about once a month or every 4 to 6 weeks, I'll do
go deep.
One good trip. Nice. And then just kind of, and then I love it. It's good. That's all I need. I'm fine. And a little micro here. If I'm just, I'll eat like a little cap and a stem and just pop it, then head down to the comedy club and hang out for a couple hours. And
nice.
Just have a little, it's a good life.
No, I feel you. I mean, I don't really consider psychedelics like a drug, though.
Yeah.
I think you're getting, closer to something. But every time I've done, I do a couple good mushroom trips a year, and it's every the next day, I just feel like the world is brighter or something.
Yeah,
I don't know how else to describe it.
They're using it to treat depression and PTSD and a lot of things like that now. And the reason, I've always loved mushrooms and done it fucking hundreds of times over my lifetime. But I got into microdosing because a couple of years ago, I was listening to this health podcast I listened to. And this lady who they were interviewing, this doctor, was talking about how she was experimenting with microdosing and the effects of it. And the way she described it, she goes, it just made me notice the flowers again. And I'm like, oh, that sounds nice. Like, it does, you don't really get high, a little warm, little, and just kind of rounds the edges of life. And you just kind of warms it up a little bit. I'm like, I could use that.
That's why I feel like I smoke a lot of the pot.
Yeah.
I drink socially.
Yeah.
Because there's no time where I'm sitting at home where I'm like, oh, I want to have a drink.
Just get hammered.
But I need to smoke a joint. It's like a comfort, like a teddy bear, for me, it just, I don't know.
It's a better daily functional habit than alcohol, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, the consequences for sure are a lot, yeah, for sure.
And I just feel like it doesn't make you a bad person like alcohol can.
DJing as much as I DJ, I definitely do not drink every time I DJ. That because then there's people that I see out and it's their day off, they're like, oh, we're, then they want, like, oh, no, I'm not,
Yeah, it's it comes
I can do this I can only do this one night a week,
I got one good one in me.
Yeah.
Gotta make
it
count.
Exactly.
All right, let's see. We're going to do a couple more questions and we're going to get into the news. Music guy. I'll ask you about musical songs. What song would they play at your funeral? What song would you want to play at your funeral?
That's a good one. Let It Be by the Beatles.
Oh, great choice. That's one of my favorite songs, Let It Be. That's a... are you a big Beatles fan?
Yeah. I like the... I definitely enjoy the Beatles for sure.
Let It Be. That's a good choice. Solid. Actually, my song for my funeral is Yellow Submarine by the Beatles. And reason I picked that song is because I found out that you can't hear that song and not smile.
Oh, you definitely can.
I don't know, man.
I feel you on that.
So I want people to be at my funeral smiling. That's my...
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I want it to be a party. A DJ playing. got a bartender.
Get a crunky go.
Everybody.
How about, this is one of my favorite ones, because I have a lot of these. What is one of your guilty pleasure songs? Like a song that if you're rolling down the road, you're bumping it, you pull up to a bus stop at you pull up a stoplight and you look over the bus stop and you roll up the windows so people don't hear you listening to it.
Oh, it's that new Justin Bieber song.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Their new Justin Bieber
that
track?
New yummy song. It's like,
I haven't heard that. Are you looking
at
it?
Why am I bouncing to this? Where's my head bouncing?
Yeah, all right, I gotta find
it. Like if you got the car, I'd be like, hey, what's up? Turn it down. Like, oh, no, this is.
Let's hear this.
It's definitely this very one? Poppy and very, yeah, very catchy, very poppy and definitely guilty.
Yeah, you got that yummy, yum, that yummy.
All right. This is that, huh?
I didn't
know he was still doing music. I thought he dipped out. I thought he was banging out Supermodel and got Jesus and was just like, I'm good.
Yeah, right.
No. A good statement. It's good to stay away.
I'm going to let this play while we finish this out. What is your go-to karaoke song?
What would it be? Now that the song's playing right now, it's like messing with my head. I'm trying to remember what the song is. What the? Oh, that's a tough one. I'm terrible with karaoke, but it's gotta be probably War. Why Can't We Be Friends?
Oh, okay. That's a good one. I don't hear that one come up very often. All right. Let's go. If you could go back if you had a time machine, could visit any time in history, when would you go and why?
We're going to go back. We're gonna go back and give all the natives guns.
Good plan, man. I love it.
Have you seen that? There's a Family Guy episode where they go back in time and they give all the natives guns.
Yeah, show up on the coast now, fuckers. That would be great. Yeah, I like it. America would be a better place, man. So would Mexico still. Fuck yeah. How about we'll do one more musical question? How about the theme? What's a good theme song for your life?
Definitely like a. Can I just say like an artist? Probably like Stevie Wonder. I don't know.
Okay, all right. Like he's got a lot of good.
Yeah.
A range.
Yeah. I can't pinpoint a song, but. Or more like, I don't know, maybe James Brown.
That's a good one, man.
Soundtrack.
All right, that'll be good. I could appreciate either one of those, man. That's a good life where you roll around banging that stuff. Okay, I'm gonna ask one more, and then we're gonna get in the news. If we were in a zombie apocalypse doomsday slash zombie apocalypse scenario on Earth, like The Walking Dead, say, how long do you think you'd survive?
Oh, not long at all.
You think you'd be taken out fast?
Yeah, I don't have very good kung fu skills.
No survival skills?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a very bad native when it comes to those survival skills.
That's all right, man. I think most people in
urban native.
That's yeah, I get that, man. They fucking, I don't know. You just all you need is just.
Is the bodega, the corner store, still going to be open? Yeah. It's a zombie apocalypse. Maybe I'll survive a couple more days.
As long as I can get my wraps, I'll be all right. All right, Sophie, you ready to get into some news?
I am ready.
Okay, let's do some news with. Oops, we're gonna get into some news with Sophie.
And now the Social Hour news with Sophie Tomey.
York City.
Did you see the news this week? Yeah, neither did I. It's definitely not because we were drinking and getting high. All the stuff on TV is the same shit, but on a different day. So I found some interesting stories to talk about today. Accuracy not guaranteed, little disclaimer. Guaranteed is news with a little Sophie flavor. So here's the Social Hour News. Without further ado, let's get into all the cool stories that I've gathered just for you.
Yeah.
Every time a hip-hop person comes on here, I get so ashamed. Like, every time he plays that.
Why?
It's just it's like, okay, you do this professionally, and I'm just here, like, with the news, like, hi.
You're a little smoky, little
way better rapper than
young.
Me.
Little homie.
Little homie.
As much hip-hop and music that I've been involved in making, my brain does not work that way at all to rap.
Yeah.
That's way better than I would have done.
Somebody's got to do your end. So.
Yeah, there you go.
The funny thing is, I always tell people, like, when we recorded that in the studio here, I had her do it like 5 times, and I layered 3 of the tracks over each other to make it to thicken out the vocals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they synced up. I'm like, dude, your flow is tight, though. Like, you weren't deviating. Like, you were bop, 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 hitting all your marks.
Bop, bop, bop.
You know? Like, you're fucking like a human metronome. Like,
oh,
bop, 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 bop. There was no, it wasn't like, you know, you weren't all over the board with your flow, so.
I think I hear in perfect tune, too. No, I'm just kidding. Not at all. Okay, so this is a news story that I picked out especially for Deez.
Okay.
Because I know it's near and dear to his heart.
Oh.
Daredevil Mad Mike Hughes dies in crash of his homemade rocket in California.
Yeah, I heard.
I saw this video earlier today.
Oh, you didn't watch the video.
The video is crazy. Yeah. You gotta watch the video.
Can we watch it?
Okay, my bad for laughing.
Dear Mad Mike, hi.
Oh, God.
It's your number one fan, Deez. I heard about your recent mishap when you were trying to prove the Earth is flat. You didn't no need to prove it. You proved that you're a true hero. And I know you made a lot of missteps along the way. You converted your mobile home into a ramp and used it to projectile yourself into space, and you didn't make it. We're here for you, buddy. I know when I go over that flat edge. That's how he's got this. I mean. Oh God. So, okay. So he. Let's see if I can find. Is there? There's a video.
Oh, the video! I saw this video like a couple
you
hours
watched
ago.
It?
Yeah, it's a great video. I mean,
while you find the video, I'll say a couple bullet points from the article that stood out to me. Michael, Mad Mike Hughes, tragically passed away today during an attempt to launch his homemade rocket.
Which one's going to show it explode?
So what they think happened...
is a fucking hillbilly who lived in the desert made a homemade rocket and it fucking magically... fucking exploded. What else? There was no other outcome.
No, it gets worse. Deez, you'll like this because it's. I was going to say funnier, but that's not the right word. So there was this journalist, Chapman, who filmed it, and he told the Los Angeles Times that Hughes might have been knocked unconscious during takeoff. So he is not even like. He's just too old.
He didn't even get a selfie up there or anything before he died.
This here's the. Listen.
The
headline should read Hick in Desert Dies Obviously
in
like that
trailer.
should be the fucking title of this goddamn story.
Oh my God,
what it should say is finally
yeah
it happened.
Finally, yeah.
We all knew what was gonna
we're
happen.
Kind of amazed that
it's only
until now.
A matter
got
of
this
time.
Far
okay oh my God.
So we're in the middle of the desert. He's on like a truck bed.
The video is only 1 minute and 1 second long.
Yeah, see, there you go. There's a problem. His parachute ripped off on takeoff.
Where was he?
There he goes.
Sucks.
Wait, oh, there's the. Oh, yikes. Is he. Boy.
He's got a lot of time I guess he was knocked out, maybe, but.
Oh, it ends before.
They don't even. Oh, I saw the whole
thing.
Video.
Oh, wait. Do they still. Oh, come on.
Did he only have that one parachute?
It ends.
Oh, they stop it.
They stop it,
right,
it before it.
Actually crashes.
The guy only had one parachute.
Listen, if
that's
the first
all he could
one,
afford.
If the first one, if your rocket doesn't make it, I'm not putting a lot of fucking a lot of faith into my parachute.
Dude, the parachute was gone 10 feet off the ground.
Yeah, seriously, that's shitty.
This was,
if you have that,
he probably had no idea the parachute was gone either. He was just.
I get it. So he's on the back of like a truck bed with a little ladder, and his parachute in about.
I mean, did he think that tiny rocket was gonna get far enough into space to like see the whole Earth?
And then his rocket just.
Oh, it just goes right back down.
I wonder if nobody told this guy that they figured out the Earth is not flat hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I shouldn't laugh at that.
It's also, like, just look at it's such a tiny amount of dust. Like, I feel like a car crash would make more of an impact.
Why do I feel like nobody's even running towards him? There's, like, a big crowd around him, too. Where'd everybody go? Like, nobody's like, hey, maybe we should go check on him? Or?
That is,
I mean, obviously, sucks for his friends and family. But also, like, come on.
What do you got to make it to space to be an astronaut, I think. Oh, yeah.
How far into space do you have to get to be a homemade astronaut? Yeah.
I'm a submarine captain. Oh, really? Which ocean? Never been.
Yeah.
Just a homemade submarine captain. Sometimes I fill my bathtub up really high and go blah, 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 underwater.
One time I drove my trailer into the ocean. That's about as far as he got.
Oh, dude. So,
I mean, does the guy have a lot of balls, or is what? I don't know. Where did you put that? To get that rocket, you gotta be like, I don't know. You gotta.
Man, I don't trust the dresser I made at IKEA. Let alone I'm not putting together my own rocket.
That guy was a limo driver by trade, right?
No,
his profession was a limo driver. We have a limo. I mean, I guess that's what happens when a limo driver. He starts doing
like
amateur rocketry.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, so, okay. The thing about this guy, and I do this, I talk about this in my stand-up. I've got a whole thing on him. It's like, his plan was to go 1,800 feet up in the air to prove the Earth is flat. That's how far he wanted to go. 1,800 feet up in the air. So, you know, about as tall as, like, the third tallest building in Spokane. Like, you could get on the tallest building in Spokane, and you're higher than 1,800 feet. And then it's like, okay, like, just fucking buy a $59 Southwest ticket from Phoenix to Sacramento, go 35,000 feet up in the air, and the fucking Earth is still round, you inbred hick. Like, what the fuck do you think is happening right now? What do you need you don't need to build a rocket. Like, and do you, like, what did he think was going to happen? He's going to go 1,800 feet up in the air, and he's going to start taking just... see a disc and see the edge. You're like, I can see the edge, Mom. I'm here. Like, what?
Yeah, you're in what? Where was he? California?
He's in Death Valley.
Death Valley.
What a shitty rocket. Only 1,800 feet.
You know, it's
go to where he thinks the edge of the Earth is.
Did nobody tell him that they invented planes, like you said? That
yeah.
35,000
feet? Go to the fucking...
For $59?
You know, if he wanted to survive, maybe he shouldn't have used his rocket in Death Valley.
Boom.
Somebody had to say
it. Next time, try Alive Valley. What about Survive Valley?
Yeah.
Is there a Survive the Crash Valley? Too specific? Anyway... he was survived by his autistic children. Fuck, dude. Fucking. What? I hope this guy didn't have children. I hope that he died before he was able to reproduce, because we do not need more of these fucking people in our world. The fact that it is 2020 and we still. I often wonder. Yeah, it's my old adage, stupid or liar. Like, are you so stupid that you truly believe the Earth is flat? Or are you just a liar and you're trying to get, this is like your way to get some sort of publicity? Mm-hmm. I need to know, because the scariest thing to me is the fact that if you actually believe the Earth is flat, like, you need to surrender any firearms you have and your driver's license, and like, you don't get to vote anymore. Like, these are things, these are basic print. We should probably assign you a handler to make sure you can make it to the store okay and get food. Like, that's not a person we need in our society. I mean, I get free thought, free will. People have some crazy ideas.
Are you talking about population control?
I am not.
China's doing it right now.
Yeah.
They just released a crazy virus on people.
Yeah.
We need a good plague.
I'm for it, man. I've been saying it for years. Hey, they've just brought some of them here.
There's
five people with the coronavirus here in Spokane.
I think I have it.
Oh, God. I think I do, too, then.
We've all been in this room together for the last hour.
We're all dying together.
Quarantined here now.
Let's put on our white Keds and drink the Kool-Aid.
That sounds like a fun way to go out. That's you don't even have to go to Mars. You can just start a cult and go out like that. Yeah, I'll remember you.
I'll just go to your reservation, pick up some of the Pentecostals. Let's do this cult thing, man. Let's go out nuts.
If I'm gonna do a new cult, I want to do the Mormons. They got hella girls.
Yeah,
they wear magic pajamas.
Yeah, they're border. That's basically superheroes.
Hella girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess that's true.
Yeah, the multiple wives. Oh, multiple wives doesn't sound great. Multiple girls sounds okay. Multiple wives
side
sounds
chicks,
like a headache.
Yeah, big headache.
Yeah, side chicks. They're all about. They're okay with it too.
Yeah, they all know about each other, so I guess they would be.
Yeah, sister wives, man.
I don't like that sister wives being the title.
All right. So, Mad Mike, sorry you died. It was bound to happen. How many times can you build your own rocket and think you're going to go to space and not die? Yeah, it's okay. He'll be missed.
A little bit, maybe.
Yeah. What else is?
Then this one is just irritating. 36-year-old arrested for calling 911 after parents shut off cell phone.
How'd she call? She didn't have a cell phone.
Ohio police said she repeatedly called emergency dispatchers and became quote-unquote belligerent. So they cut off her cell phone service. This is in
Florida?
Stark County, arrested of Jackson Township. Oh, probably. Wait, Jackson, not Jacksonville. I don't know where Jackson is.
I don't know. Jacksontown?
Jacksonville.
Is it in America?
Yeah, definitely. This is only something that would happen in America, calling 911 for your parents. Turning your fucking phone off.
What was she like? Say like they. What do you report?
She said she felt the lack of a working phone was a legitimate police matter.
Tell that to every kid before 1998.
But here is the silver lining. She ended up getting arrested on charges of disrupting public services, which is a fourth degree felony.
Good.
Oh, wow.
She goes to jail forever. They've done studies about this, and it is.
That's her.
She can call me. No.
Hey.
She's got how old?
She's 36 years old. She should
be paying
for her own
cell phone.
She's 36 and her parents cut off her phone and that she free.
I thought you said 13 earlier.
No. She is 36 years old.
Holy shit.
Whoa.
And to get a job. Why are your parents paying for your phone? If you're 36, you pay for your own shit. Sorry. But they've been doing these studies about how bad detrimental it is. Like, I mean, like a kid and their how attached they are to these cell phones and the dopamine, like this, the reactions they have with the, I mean, Facebook has set up and they've done testing, set up algorithms of like the color scheme and the way the lights go off and the way the, you know, things react to you to maximize how much engagement you have with these apps. They're all they want you to do is be on these apps all the time.
Oh, well, they haven't gotten my color scheme right because I fucking avoid Facebook like the plague, like every 3 days, like once every 3 days is usually like.
You said the dopamine, like people, when you get a like, people are like, oh man, people are always like, just,
Yeah, what if refresh? What do I got?
Oh, I got like 90 likes. Oh, sweet.
I validated my existence.
Nobody liked my shit earlier. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And how that drives people nuts, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Like, you let that bother you. It's
a weird existence we've come to in this digital age.
It's only going to get weirder.
It is. Although I don't know. We're closing in on basically becoming one with technology, where we're just like cyborgs, yeah. Like little downloadable
symbiote.
Yeah, man, little just like download cars, where you like it, just take a disc and look. This is Sophie now. This little disc, and
I'm already convinced with the amount of psychedelic drugs that I've done that we are in a simulation.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. Actually, that's a reality I am willing to talk about.
They keep doing those like particle colliders and making those like little black holes, and I don't know. They said that's something like have the Mandela effect. They think,
yeah,
because it's like disrupting the timeline. And
yeah, well, I don't. So the funny thing is with the Mandela effect, the odd part about that is that most of the things that the way the Mandela effect, like the way people remember them, but not the way they actually are, or like I remember them all in the way that they're supposedly not. Like I remember being the Berenstain Bears. I remember watching Nelson Mandela, like the reports when I was younger of him like dying in prison. And, you know, I remember there's a couple other big ones that like I remember. The movie Kazam with Sinbad. I remember that movie. That movie happened.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you, that movie fucking happened. I remember it. And like why does a large number of people remember this movie that even Sinbad is like, I never made that movie. It's like, well, in one reality, you fucking did, man.
Yeah.
So, I remember scenes from that movie in my head.
Yeah.
Dude.
I remember
him walking around with that little kid, like the way he was dressed. Like,
and people are like, no, it's that movie Shazam with Shaq. I'm like, no, I remember both those movies and thinking how they were so like pretty closely made together, like a year or two apart. And it was an interesting, like, you know, correlation that they were both made. But no, now one just doesn't exist in our reality anymore. So I don't know, man.
That's why it's gone all goofy. That's why we got the Trump stakes guy.
Yeah.
We got a reality star, you know, running things.
I know, like, man. We're in like Idiocracy. Like, maybe we just need, what do we need? We need Scott Bakula, a little quantum leap, go back in time and correct the past. Maybe the next one will be the leap home. What do we do?
We've seen a good plague.
It's coming. It's coming.
They tried with AIDS. It didn't work out. They need to. Yeah, we do need it. They can get that coronavirus. We could lose 30%.
We'd still have a lot.
Way too many people. Still have.
Oh yeah, way too many.
Listen, I have been saying it for years. When I am in charge, I want a sterilization agent put in the municipal water system, and it sterilizes everyone. Will not be have children. And if you want to have children, you will fill out an application. You send it into the government and use your 50-cent forever stamp. That's still good. And we will. There'll be an algorithm. It's, you know, if you hit a certain amount of the markers of if you could have a kid, you know, you afford them, you know, how you care for them, your background, health, mental health, things like that. We'll give you the antidote and you can have a kid. Until then, fuck off, man. Stop. You know, these people just shitting out kids that nobody wants. We don't need that.
The more and more I DJ in bars and night spots, I agree with you. These people should not be procreating.
Yeah, you're like, who are? And those are the people that are getting hammered and procreating and not remembering.
Yeah, exactly. They already have like four kids. Like,
yeah, when they're on Maury and they're like they're off to their seventh guy. Like, maybe it was this guy. You're like, maybe stop fucking people.
Oh my God.
How many people did you fuck while you were ovulating? Jesus Christ.
You can't just have multiple babies on one ovulation. God.
Yeah, they just like, fuck, you just saw it. I mean, how it's. Enjoy
the cream pies, I guess.
I guess, man. I know.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah. I still remember not a while back, this girl was trying to get me to fuck her, and I'm like, no, I don't want to fuck. I was not. I did not want to. She was a crazy train, and I knew it. And I'm like, no, I'm not getting on that crazy train. Younger Deese liked to fly. He was Icarus, liked to fly too close to the sun. I would have done it. Older Deese is wiser and wants to go to sleep an hour earlier. She's like, come on. Da, da, da. She's like, I want you to fuck me and come in me. And I'm like, no, oh, God, no. No, I'm like, that's definitely not happening. First of all, like, it's very presumptuous to think I would definitely use a condom with you. And she's like, don't worry, I'll take plan B. I'm like, well, I was more worried about the STDs. Second of all, like, I'm not going to trust you to take a plan B.
Yeah, what am I going to have to do?
Psycho. Like, this sounds, first of all, this sounds like a rehearsed, scripted conversation. Like, this is the first time you've had, you're trying to talk people into fucking you with,
plan
and, like,
A is condoms.
Entrapment.
Yeah,
wow,
exactly. Yeah.
Totally.
A is me being asleep in 20 minutes cuddling my dog.
Yeah.
That's plan
A
tonight. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, because, like I said, there's nights where I don't party every night. It's like, at the end of the night, they're like, yeah, we're going. Okay. Like, you said the same thing. The gnarliest of the gnarly. They're like, I actually got to go home and walk my dog.
Yeah.
Just fucking up something right now.
Sorry. Yeah, man.
Oh, my God.
Was
that like a one-night stand thing, too? Because that seems even weirder. Like, it's one thing, you know, but, like, first time with somebody, I'm going to stop talking, but, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's
was that a comedy show?
Yeah.
Was it a waitress
I've
a
gotten
comedy
some
show?
Weird propositions, and I'm like, like I said, younger Deese was crazy and liked to take risks. I always say, like, I actually want to name, if I ever made a comedy album, I always want to name it, like, Kid Icarus, because I always felt like I really like to fly too close to the sun. Like, I like to get as close as I can to get burned. Like, I play with fire. I get it. That was my whole life. But as I get older, I'm like, you know what? I really want to go home and put on The Office that I've watched 100 times and lay with my dog and drink a soda water. Like, that.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, like, I can't wait to do that after.
Yeah, like, that's what I want to do at the end of the night. Like, I don't want to go home with you while you fucking, you know, snort lines of coke and try to get me to fuck you, and then you want to talk for a while. I'm like, God, everything about that sounds fucking terrible.
Oh. I was on board until you said that you didn't want to talk, and then I was just like, oh, that sucks.
I don't want to talk. I don't want to have
any. That's like, what is that they say? Like, that's why when you pay a hooker, you pay him to leave.
Yeah, you don't pay him to the sex, you pay him to leave.
Damn. That's right, man. I'm learning a whole lot of new stuff today.
I've heard.
Yeah,
totally,
I've been
totally,
told.
Totally.
All right, so you want to do one?
I've got one more.
Let's do one more, and then we'll
tell me if you want to hear about Florida or India.
Oh, man, it's hard to say no to Florida.
Okay.
Florida's always never
disappoints.
Never disappoints.
Headline. Florida
it does
police.
Disappoint, but
yeah, it's disappointing, but like not
disappointing to humanity.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. In our country, Florida police investigate after quote unquote several tongues preserved in jars found in crawl space.
That's not that weird. I feel like someone's using those to tickle their butthole. Like, they're just like, listen, this is my Tuesday tickling tongue, taint tickling tongue. This is my Wednesday taint tickling tongue. It's my Thursday taint tickling tongue.
It's in Gainesville. Yeah. Do we know anything about Gainesville?
Yeah, it's a shithole.
Oh, just like the rest of the state.
They probably have them hollowed out so they can stick them on their fingers and just tickle their butthole with them.
Oh,
like,
this is my scratching tongue.
What I do is I put raspberry jelly on it because it has the seeds in it, and I like how that feels in my buttocks.
He has them all in like five different fingers, five different tongues.
Yeah, know. Just like that.
It really goes deep.
You ever had five tongues on your butthole at once? I bet you have not. Not in Gainesville, Florida. That's for goddamn sure.
Ten tongues.
Yeah.
In Gainesville, Florida.
Maybe in Tulsa, but it ain't the same. We got different tongues down here. Spicy, caliente, like the Cubans say.
Oh, my
you
God.
You know any butthole.
Cajun.
No. That's too many tongues.
That's too many. Five is too many?
Yeah.
What's the cutoff?
I would,
three and
I
a half?
I say like two.
Two is
a
butthole?
Reasonable amount of tongues.
Oh.
Not on your butthole specifically. There's no room for that. But like, I wouldn't say in any given sexual situation, I think two is
the max of
two
tongues.
Is a good amount.
Two total or two after yours?
Two after mine. I don't know why I had to think about that. As
now we know what Sophie's
going to
do. All right, so three total tongues.
Well, yeah, I can't do anything to... Like, that'd be really weird if you were, like, in a threesome and you were, like, licking yourself.
You're, like
a cat. Like,
your...
Yeah. So, yeah, clearly, no, not.
Yeah.
So, police were dispatched. I don't know why they're giving, like, that street name. After receiving a 911 call that human remains dating back to the 1960s had
Damn.
Been found in the crawlspace of a home belonging to the ex-wife of Dr. Ronald A. It's either like Bogman or Bauman, according to the Tampa Bay Times. Once on the scene, investigators found half a dozen plastic gallon-sized jars containing human tongues. Chief Inspector George Campos told the paper. He said the labels on the jars dated back to the late 1960s. Thank you for repeating that twice. Bauman, a world-renowned pathologist and former University of Florida professor, told WCJB that he had obtained the specimens as part of his research. His research. And brought them home with the intention of using them for additional work. Yeah. Sexual work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He stored them in the crawl space because it was a cool area.
I wrapped my hamster in him and put it in my butthole.
Let him
crawl
around. Because it was for work.
Yeah, peanut butter crawls around in there.
Yeah.
He slides out easy when he's a tongue.
Yeah, I don't know. So, and instead of he's like, I put him in a crawl space because it's a cool area. It's like, how about you stick him in the fridge and then you remember to bring him back to work? Like,
I definitely don't put him up there because that's where no one would find them.
Yeah, that was a really
I bring
great
him out
excuse.
And cover them in tinsel and put him on my mantelpiece during the holiday season.
Oh my
obviously.
God! Can you imagine? Gross. That's a weird mental image.
How many tongues were there?
Well, they don't have numbers, but they did say they found half a dozen gallon-sized jars containing human tongues.
Are they in formaldehyde? How are they staying? Are they just molding? Do you just put a tongue in water and they hang out? That seems weird.
You know, okay, here, there is a picture. Oh, wait, no.
I hope he had
animal
tongues, too.
It's human tongues. For work.
For work. They're for work! Linda, I'll be out of the bathroom soon also. Don't worry why there's no hot water and the plunger's missing.
This guy sounds like a serial killer.
Yeah.
Dude, totally, yeah, yeah. Totally. He said the tongues, they were used for research on thyroid and neck conditions. Yeah. Like, he didn't just pull that out of his ass. Like,
thyroids.
I need a tongue for that.
Yeah.
And he says they were meant to be brought back. He just forgot
owner?
About him. To
yeah.
the university.
Forgot about him,
yeah,
1960.
To the fucking runaways I killed and murdered when I was a drifter in the 60s. Jesus Christ. This guy. Okay. Well, that's Florida for you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Florida, great. Thanks for always chiming in and being the best part of our country.
Ooh, that is such a weird place.
Yeah. Fuck Florida.
Fuck Florida, indeed.
I've been to Orlando. That was... Too weird.
I've never been to Florida. I want to go, kind of, but also it kind of creeps me out. So
I've been. I hated it. I cried.
Yeah. All right, Dino, let's see. Tell us again where people can find you, social media and Spotify, stuff like that, so they can listen to you and check out your stuff.
Instagram, Twitter, both the same. DJ Exodus 1, just the number 1. Also, Kushnaps and Cartoons, my, I guess, debut project is on Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, SoundCloud, YouTube,
and that's under
everything.
Dean Smith, SMIF.
Yep, Dean Smith.
And then let's see, Thursday, if you're in the Spokane area, if you're in the area where this show is recorded on Thursdays, you can find them at Lucky's. Fridays at Red Room, is that correct?
Yep.
And then if you're in the broader area, you're going to be at Tree Fest, Tree Fort Festival in Boise. Is that right? In this month and later March. San Antonio and Denver in May. You can find links in the comments also this episode to check him out, follow him. So check out those beats, check out his music. I'll be on tour with Mike Bogan. He's going to be in a town near you. So Dino, thanks again for coming on, man. We'll have you on again soon. This was great.
Definitely.
I appreciate it. And guys, as for me, let's see. I will be at Spokane Comedy Club the 19th through the 22nd. I've got some other stuff coming up in March, mostly late March. Beginning of March, I kind of got a little break here, which is nice. But and then next week, guys, we have musician Jason Perry on. So come back and take a listen for that. Sophie, do you have anything coming up?
Nope.
Okay. All right, guys. For the Social Hour, I am Deese, and for Dino and Sophie, thank you very much, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Jesus, the Beatles, Haver, Montana, Spokane, Washington, New Music, Taiwanese Hookers, Justin Bieber, Mad Mike Hughes, Mad Mike Hughes' kids, and Florida. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week. The only thing about watermelon is it's like a Taiwanese hooker. It is 50-50 if you're going to like what you find when you open it up.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!